Two legs, good. Four legs, better. Any more or less than that, it's a party. It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
I am the little red rooster.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, and we've been talking this morning with Heidi Williams, the director of Ingham County Animal Control. And Heidi, now that we are into spring officially, let's talk about what are the services that typically go up in the spring, and what are the things that you need from the public in order to provide those services?
So we've been running a free pet food bank for the last year, recognizing that COVID is definitely having a negative economic impact on a lot of families. The last thing we wanted people to do was have to surrender their pets because they couldn't afford to feed them. So as kind of a preemptive strike, so to speak, we started up these food banks, and we got a lot of donations from the community. We got some donations from local businesses, and we've been able to keep these running for a year, but we're running out of money for them. And right now, unless something drastic happens with donations, we're probably going to have to end them the end of May. Now, we will still donate food that we get at the shelter that we can't use for our animals, but the extent at which we've been running them will definitely go down. The other thing you'll see to start back up this spring is our free vaccinations. April 28th will be a free dog rabies vaccination day at the Ingham County Fairgrounds. People will be able to stay in their car. We'll do a drive-through just like they're doing for all the COVID vaccination sites. We'll vaccinate your dog in the car. You'll have an opportunity to purchase your dog license at that time. And we'll continue to do those once a month throughout the warm weather. We do have the reduced cost spay and neuter voucher program that started back up. They can contact the shelter at 676-8370 to purchase a low-cost spay or neuter voucher. We did also start up a once-a-month cat neuter and spay clinic at our shelter, but it's very limited. I think we have 15 slots a month that we can do at our shelter, and that's also through the low-cost spay and neuter voucher program. So we've got some stuff that we're happy to be able to start offering again. It was terrible not being able to offer those services over the winter.
I can imagine so. Now, one thing that I don't know if you mentioned, what about flea and tick? Is there anything that you can do to help people with that? Because we are coming into that season, and frankly, for some people, the cost becomes somewhat prohibitive.
Yeah, definitely. That is not cheap. Currently, we don't have any programs for that. But that is certainly something that's on our radar, because you're absolutely right. I mean, flea and tick allergies can really make life miserable for animals. And we see that a fair amount of times the officers do when they go out and check the welfare of animals. And people a lot of times don't know where to turn for that. So I encourage people, if they have questions or concerns or how do I get this medication, call the shelter. We'll be happy to point you in the right direction. And if we happen to have any on hand that we can donate, we of course will. But we don't have a set program to be able to provide that for the community right now.
So one question I have, just because I know somebody recently that tried to get their license, their driver's license, over the last few months, and it's been nearly impossible or difficult. You know, lots of hoops to go through. You can only go online. Sometimes the websites are closed down. And I'm just curious, COVID and how it relates to people and their access to getting their dogs licensed. Has that had any negative impact? Has it been a problem, or has that not been an issue?
Hasn't really been an issue. The treasurer's office has done a great job, of course, because they're responsible for the dog licensing. That's kind of their purview. But our shelter has been open, and we've been selling dog licenses at the shelter. They can still purchase them through the treasurer's office, but they have to do it over the phone, I believe, because the treasurer's office is still closed, as is the downtown treasurer's office location. So that's been restricted a little bit, but for the most part, no. People can come into the shelter. They can call. They can mail them in. We're still processing licenses just like we always have.
And the call in for any kind of problems out there in the community with dogs. One thing I was thinking about, Lee and I, we're having a conversation with a dentist for dogs that was having a lot more reported dog bites, larger dogs picking on small dogs and causing some dental issues. And I'm just curious, has there been on the streets any more or increased amount of issues surrounding that during COVID?
We have not seen an uptick in dog bite reports. They've been about what they normally are. But it certainly is a big issue, and a lot of these are caused from allowing your dog off leash to run, particularly if it does have a strong prey drive or a hatred of small animals. We really encourage people, even if your city does not have a leash ordinance, we really encourage people to keep their dog on a leash. It's the best way you can protect your dog and other dogs and stay out of trouble.
Well, and that leads me to a question, because one of the things that we're dealing with now because of daylight savings time is that it's lighter, longer into the evening. What is the rules regarding barking dogs? Because truth be said, there are some people who just immediately think, I've got to get my dog inside the second it starts barking. And there are other people who, I don't know if they're just asleep and can sleep through anything, but their dogs just are outside barking for what seems like an eternity. What are the rules about that?
So the rules really vary community to community, and animal control actually has no enforcement capability to handle noise complaints. And even though the noise is being generated from a dog, we still can't take any enforcement on that. And each community has their own noise violation ordinance. So I would refer people to, if you do have a barking dog complaint, to call your local police department, and they'll be the ones that can take enforcement on it.
Okay. And with regard to leash laws, you mentioned that people should have one. But again, amazingly, I've seen a lot of people who just figure that I should be fine, and on my own property, I should let them. But they've got dogs that look awfully fierce running around off a leash. What do you do in that case?
So again, and I'm not trying to pass the buck, but the Ingham County Dog Ordinance does not include a leash provision. Again, that would be a local ordinance. So you would have to talk to, you know, your local municipality to determine if there is a leash law or not. Now, that being said, if your dog gets away from you off your property, we can take enforcement action on that for an at-large dog. So, you know, if it is a continuing issue where, you know, your neighbor's dog is constantly coming into your property or roaming the neighborhood, causing hate and discontent, you know, give us a call. If you can get photographic or video evidence of that, that really helps our cases, because otherwise our officers have to witness it. And a lot of times by the time we get out there, the person has the dog back under control. And there's a lot of frustration with the community saying, well, animal control is not doing anything. We can only act on what we witness or what we have direct proof of. So that's one way the community can really help us with these cases, is to get photos or video. And it really helps our officers be able to take enforcement action.
Heidi, you began the show talking about volunteers and the importance of them. We're running out of time, but can you again reiterate for our listeners, if they are interested in volunteering or helping out with Ingham County Animal Control, how do they go about doing that?
Yeah, so you can visit our website. It's ac.ingham.org. And there's a volunteer tab. If you click on that, there's a volunteer application, a link to our volunteer coordinator, Lauren. And she'll, there's also, I think, a sign-up link on there that you can sign up for volunteer orientations, and all sorts of ways that you can help out. We are specifically looking for kitten foster families for the spring. So if you've ever had a desire to foster a litter of adorable, floofy little kittens, we're definitely looking for more kitten fosters. The best place for these kittens and mamas is in a home, not the shelter. So that's why we try to get them out into fosters. There's no cost associated with it. We'll cover all of the expenses. We'll even give you some basic medical training if they're really tiny neonatals. And we'll give you everything you need to take good care of them. And we have a great support network for it.
So, fantastic.
We'd love to have more.
That's a great program. Heidi Williams, thank you so much for coming on the show. We've really enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you.
Oh, it was our pleasure. And Rick, we are out of time for this week. So on behalf of our producer, Grant LaFave, this is Lee Cohen wishing all of you a great weekend and a great week ahead. We'll talk next weekend on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. Meantime, will you all please, please take good care of your pets and stay safe, everybody.
Hey, get some ideas for a show? Questions? Maybe suggestions? Just email us, mmpets@1320wils.com or message us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/mmpets.